Welcome to Black at School, the USC Race and Equity Center's series on addressing racial problems that disadvantage Black students across America. Black at School offers parents and families language, tools, and strategies to disrupt racism and racial inequalities in classrooms, in curriculum, and in their children's interactions with peers and educators. In this episode, Jessica DeQuire-Gunby, the Robert Naslin Professor in the Rossier School of Education at the University of Southern California, offers guidance on what to do when teachers and other employees do or say racist things to Black students in schools. Dr. DeQuire-Gunby is president of the American Psychological Association's Educational Psychology Division and the mother of a Black teenage son. Her four books include Race and Ethnicity in the Study of Motivation in Education. Let's hear now from Professor DeQuire-Gunby.
I have been studying race and racial identity and racism for over 25 years. And so today I'm going to share some strategies based upon the research literature, my research, and my experience as a mother of a Black boy. But I want to begin my conversation today by explaining two basic types of racism that employees most likely will engage in terms of racism in your child's school. When I say employee, I want you to think broadly when I mean employee. Teachers, teacher aides, counselors, principal, or any other educator that may come within the school, within school context. So not just teachers, even though a lot of times we say educator, that's who you think about, but just any of the main people who work within the school setting. So the first type of racism I want to talk to you about is overt racism. So overt racism is a purposeful action of hatred directed at a specific person or a group of people because of their race or based upon their race. Examples, these are kind of bold statements, bold events, or bold things. And so examples of this in a school would include like an educator dressing up in blackface, an educator using a racial slur, or an educator using a racist symbol such as a noose, or even an educator making a very hurtful racial statement, maybe that's based upon stereotype that is meant to, that's based upon race. And so overt racism is very conscious, is deliberate and very easy to identify. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Everybody knows that it has racist intent. Even the perpetrator knows it because it's purposeful. And then of course the people that they're harming actually knows it. And so here's an example that happened a few years ago. A principal in Georgia, it was at a graduation ceremony. A principal in Georgia was dismissing the whole audience because the graduation was over. But it wasn't actually over. There was actually one more speech that was going to be held. And so she was trying to get everyone to return back to their seats to listen to the speech. And you know how it is. Once someone dismisses a graduation, everyone is everywhere. People are talking. They're out their seats and things. And so, you know, so she was getting a little frustrated because people weren't really getting back to their seats. And so she was trying to get everybody back in their seats. Some people were getting back, others weren't. And then she just got on the mic and she's just stated in a brusque kind of tone, "Look who's leaving, all the Black people." And there was just a loud just gasp from the whole audience. It was just majority Black audience, a majority Black school. And so, she knew this was a mistake. So to address the situation, she later sent a letter to parents saying, "A terrible mistake on my part was part of the graduation ceremony on Friday night. The devil was in the house and came out from my mouth. I deeply apologize for my racist comment and hope that forgiveness is in your hearts." So she was the principal or the executive director of this particular school. And she, you know, made the statement right there at the graduation. So overt racism, just bold, in your face, purposeful intent. The second type is covert racism. And covert racism is more of a concealed or a subtle act that is designed to undermine or discriminate against a person or group of people based upon their race. And usually covert racist acts are usually unconscious. People a lot of times don't realize that they are engaging in racist behavior, but it's often overlooked and very difficult for you to prove that it is racist. And covert racism really helps to subvert or restrict Black people's access to particular societal privileges. And so it allows perpetrators, those who actually commit the racist acts, to deny that racist act even occurred. And it undermines any claim of harm. It gives perpetrators what we call plausible deniability, because the racism is hidden and it's really hard to prove. So and a lot of times when you think about covert racism, you think about racial microaggressions. You know, they're subtle, you know, they tend to kind of undermine people's experiences with racism. So examples of covert racism in schools include like racial profiling by a campus police officer, tone language of body policing by teachers, or white-centric curricula. And here's another example. A fourth grade teacher in North Carolina was teaching slavery during Black History Month. Of course, that's about the only time they want to teach about subjects like that. And so she used a role-playing game to simulate slaves running towards freedom. And so in the game included like images of shackles and plantations and referenced like severe punishment. And so each kid got like a punch card, and then they had to put their names on the back of the punch card. And so and on front of the punch card, it said, "This is your group's freedom punch card. If your group runs into trouble four times, you will be severely punished and sent back to the plantation to work as a slave. Write your names on the back of this card." And so the students got four punches on their card. They got sent back to the plantation to be punished. And so the object of the game was to kind of teach kids about the cruelty of slavery, and also we're teaching them about the abolitionists and the Underground Railroad. And it was supposed to be an activity to really just teach them about just the horrors of slavery. And this teacher actually got this from the Teachers Pay Teachers site. And so this was an activity that, you know, some teacher somewhere designed and other teachers thought was great. And they actually bought it. And who knows how many teachers around the country actually engaged in this activity. And so a grandparent saw her child brought this particular activity home, and she was totally offended by it. And she brought it to attention to the school and then the school board. And, the school board actually, supported and defended the teacher and felt that the teacher was, you know, was okay because they were actually trying to teach, slavery. And the teachers didn't actually mean anything negative about actually engaging in this activity. So both overt and covert racism can be perpetrated by individuals, by groups, or by institutions through their policies and practices. And so there might be instances of overt or covert racism in your child's schools, but most of the time you encounter probably instances of covert racism, the ones that is a lot more harder to prove. And so I'm going to talk to you about 10 strategies that I hope are helpful for you to address both types of racism. So, number one, when you learn about a potential racial event, first thing you need to do is try to remain calm. I know when your child is harmed, you know, physically or emotionally, you know, or psychologically, you know, you as a parent will become angry, you'll become emotional. And particularly when your child experiences racism from an educator at school, you're going to be very angry about that. And your first instinct is going to be, I'm going to send an email, I'm going to make a call, I'm going down to that school, I'm going to talk to somebody. Somebody's going to have to deal with this. But you can't do that. So you have to be strategic and make a plan regarding your next steps. You can't be all up in your feelings, you know, when something like this happens. And so be calm, you know, take some deep breaths and try to figure out what's going to be your next step. You can't just rush down to the school. They're not going to listen to you when you're all up in your feelings. You have to go there and be calm. Which brings me to number two. If your child told you about an incident, I want you to believe them, but you make sure that you verify all the details. Children don't always get all details correct. And sometimes children misremember or forget important information. And sometimes children, dare I say, lie. So, I had a really good friend of mine. She was a former teacher, and she had, two Black boys. And, you know, her son would come home and talk about how racist his teacher was and how all the different things the teacher would do to him and towards him. and wasn't supportive of him. And so my friend was like, you know, I'm going to go talk to this teacher. And I'm a former teacher. And so she wanted to make sure that she went to go to the school to advocate for her son. So she went to the school, she went to advocate for her son. And when she got to talk to the teacher was there with her receipts about what's been going on in the classroom. Well, what happened was is that, you know, she was holding the son accountable for his not necessarily doing all his work and things. And so she wasn't being racist at all. And so my friend came back, talked to her son and told her what the teacher said. And the son didn't deny anything the teacher said. And so she realized she went down ready, you know, about to, you know, confront the teacher. In fact, was confronting the teacher, and she realized she was all wrong. She had all the information wrong, but she was just, you know, blindly believing what her child had to say. And so you want to make sure that you can verify what occurred the best you can before you just go down there confronting a teacher, you know, because you go down, you confront a teacher or any educator, calling them a racist, that's fighting words. And you have to be able to back that up with some evidence. So make sure that you can verify what has occurred. You know, like I said, sometimes children don't always get the details correct. Sometimes they misremember or forget. You know, I'm not going to say they're lying, but sometimes they don't quite get everything together. So make sure you verify. So which brings me to number three, gather all the evidence you can regarding the racist act. You need receipts, y'all. You can't just go down there and say, you know, Ms. Jones is racist or Mr. Jones is racist. You need receipts. You can't just call. You can't just, you know, throw accusations out there. You have to have receipts. If this was a one-time overt racist occurrence, you need evidence. I mean, if your child said it occurred, you know, see if another child heard it. So maybe you can at least corroborate that. Or if, you know, a teacher posted something or a counselor or somebody posted something online, see if you can screenshot that. I mean, you need to have evidence of that. Or for this behavior or acts that have occurred over time, you need to document that behavior. Because remember, if it's covert racism, it might be very subtle things that they're doing. So make sure you're documenting that information. So you may need multiple pieces of information when having any kind of formal meeting with someone. So you need to make sure you are documented and have your receipts. Because once I say it, you know, it's fighting words to go there telling somebody, calling somebody's racist. So you're going to have documentation to back anything up. So gather all the evidence you need regarding the racist act or acts. So when you go there, having the meeting, talking to the teacher or principal, whoever you're going to have your meeting with, then you're going to have the data to back it up. Number four, if your child experienced covert racism, and that's the one that's, you know, you're not sure of, it's kind of covered up. And if you feel safe and comfortable to do so, you know, you might feel comfortable confronting the educator. This might be one. So if this is things the teacher are kind of subtly doing, you know, they may or may not be conscious of what they're doing. So you may feel, I need to go confront this educator. So, you know, you may ask to talk to the person who engaged in the racist act or acts and let them know. Because if they're doing something that's unconscious, like I said, they may not even realize they're doing this. And so this may be a teachable moment. And I know, as Black parents, we get tired of always having to teach people about racism. And I know that's infuriating, it's tiring, but, you know, as Black parents, it's something that we have to do. And it's part of what we do and advocate for our children. And so, yeah, I know on one hand, you're like, hey, I shouldn't have to teach the teachers or teach these educators about what is racist or not. But we do. We do have to do that. And so if you're having an educator that's engaging in covert racist acts, you know, they may not be aware that they're engaging in doing these things. And like the example I gave with the slavery activity, they may not be aware that that's just an inappropriate activity. And you may have to teach them that this is not, bringing it to their attention, teaching them what is more appropriate, but also be prepared with, you know, helping them with some solutions. So number five, if your child experienced overt racism, remember this is the in your face, bold racism, or if you did not feel comfortable confronting the actual educator, you probably need to inform their supervisor. So it's probably going to be really difficult if someone, let's say a counselor, or, you know, a teacher's aide or somebody in the school used a racial slur. it's going to be probably really hard. Use a racial slur towards your child. It's going to be probably really hard for you as a parent to go there and have a conversation with that person because they've already put it out there that they're bold enough to use, you know, this racist language or engage in these racist actions. And so it's probably better if you inform that supervisor or you just talk directly to that supervisor. So if it's the teacher, then talk to the principal. If it's the principal, go to the superintendent. If it's the superintendent, then you need to go to the school board. If it's a school board member, then you probably need to go to the media because you need to take it to the people and because the people need to vote them out. You know, it's always, you know, a lot of times easier to go to that supervisor because it may just be too emotional, too difficult for you to talk to the person who actually engaged in the act. And when your child experiences an overt racist act, you're going to be extra emotional. And so discussing that incident with that supervisor will be a lot less difficult than discussing it with that educator that actually committed that act. And then, you know, the supervisor is actually the one in the position that actually can actually engage in a lot of the change. So, you know, talking to the supervisor is not, you know, not a bad choice in any of the situations. So once you want to try to actually do a meeting, take a team approach to meeting with the educator or the educator supervisor, whichever one you decide to do. Try not to meet with the educator or supervisor alone because you don't want to get anything into a he said, she said situation, especially because race is involved. Whenever race is involved, it's always emotion. There's always some extra emotions going on. And especially when your child's in the center and your child's been harmed, you want to make sure there's somebody else there that can serve as a witness and or referee to make sure, you know, nothing jumps off. So, you know, try to make sure that you have, you know, somebody else that can be there that can serve in a somewhat neutral role. If you can ask a parent leader, like a PTA board member or a Black Parent Association board member, or maybe another parent in the class to attend, or just somebody else can be there. This person will be more like that witness or more like a, like, as I mentioned earlier, like a referee. But this person be, like I said, be in a semi-neutral role. When I say semi, it's because, you know, that person probably someone who supports you in your position. And so they're not going to be completely neutral, but they're going to be there just to make sure nothing, you know, inappropriate kind of happens. So in number seven, so after the meeting, this is really important, y'all, after the meeting, document what occurred and then send your account of the meeting to everyone in attendance. It's important to have documentation of what happened in that meeting. You know, you want to make sure there's a common understanding of what was said. And then that'll give the others a chance to edit or add things to their account. And so, you know, you just say, hey, you know, we had a good meeting today. I just want to send you this is my recollection of what we agreed on, what we talked about. I just want to make sure everyone agrees with it. Feel free to add or, you know, edit anything. And then that way, there are no misunderstandings. And no one can come back later on and say, oh, that's not what we said. That's not what we talked about. Because you already sent it out. It's dated, it's timestamped, everything about what occurred, what we talked about. And everyone agreed and everybody, you know, for the most part, signed off on. And so if no one responded to the email or they didn't take the time to edit, you know, that was their choice. But you sent it off to them and you made the request that everyone actually approved of the documentation. So always document that meeting. And that's going to be your notes because you never know, you know, it depends upon what happened. You never know how far things may have to go, depending upon what happened. And all that becomes, you know, all that documentation can potentially become evidence. And so that's really important to make sure you keep that documentation. Number eight, remember that developing a solution is a team effort. And so while all this is kind of going on and when you go to meet with the different teachers or the educators and you go to meet with the principals or whoever the supervisors are, having my suggestions for how you might want to remedy this situation. So, you know, so if a teacher is using kind of racist curriculum, have in your mind what you think a potential solution can be. Or if a teacher uses a racist slur, have in your mind what you think a good outcome would be to this. Because you may want, you know, if you're talking to a supervisor, you may want to, you know, provide some recommendations for what you think might could happen. And also be prepared to be part of the solution. I am very much a person that, you know, I don't You know, I always believe that we should be willing to be a part of a solution. If we want change in our communities, if we want change in our schools, you know, we should all be willing to help out whenever we can. So be prepared, if necessary, to help educate. As I mentioned, as you know, when it comes to race and racism, we have to be willing to help educate or to help participate in any school-wide solutions. So for instance, if the problem was with the curricula, as I mentioned earlier, let's say there's a whole school-wide curricula that teachers, they're using these very, very white-centered curricula, anti-Black curricula. And so, you know, and the principal's like, okay, you know what? There are some problems here. We need to change it. You know, would you be willing to be part of a committee for a new curricula development? Yes, you get on that committee and be a part of that change. Or if your issue was policing a student, you may want to be part of some, you know, program in terms of restorative justice practices. Just be willing to be part of these larger solutions that have to solve this problem. But ultimately, remember that the supervisor is the one who will create any type of punishment if there is any kind of punishment going on. So, you know, you can make recommendations, but it's going to be whoever that supervisor is, whether it's the superintendent, is the principal, or whatever the case may be, they're the one who's going to actually make the punishment. And there are different levels of accountability, and there's a little different levels of kind of what can actually happen. I just, you know, more recently moved from North Carolina to California, and in the South, Southern states tend to be right-to-work states, and people can be dismissed for just cause, pretty much for anything. So, you know, asking, you know, an educator, of having an educator removed is a lot easier than in places like California or like New York, where there are unionized states where there are strong teacher unions. And so there's a whole different due process perspective. I mean, there are pros and cons for both, you know, so just know that, you know, there, if educators have been engaging in racist practices, that, you know, removal of a teacher may not be very easy depending upon where you actually live. So, you know, make sure you understand kind of what are the kind of rules and levels of accountability that you have in your particular systems in which you live. But it's still important, though. So which brings me to number 9, for you as a parent to always hold the individual educator and the school accountable. You know, hopefully after you've met with the teacher and or met with the supervisor, that y'all come up with, that there's some kind of action plan created, even if they don't create it right there during the meeting, one is created sometime afterward, and that you follow up on that action plan. You know, if they're like, okay, yeah, we have, you know, our curricula needs work. Okay, so what are you going to do about it? Or yes, this teacher's been problematic. Okay, what are you going to do about it? So follow up on the action plan, check in on their progress and remind them of that plan and the implementation of their plan. And so we need you to make sure that you be firm. And let them know that you're serious and you're not, you know, and if you're willing to take it to the next level, if it's not addressed. And so if, you know, let's say you had one-on-one discussion with the teacher and there's some things that you want to kind of work out with your teacher, but then the teacher never worked it out, you take it to the principal and then, you know, you keep taking it to that next level, even if it's not addressed. And so you have to be willing as a parent to do, because a lot of times, you know, when there's a problem, whether they're race problems or not, people just always expect that you're going to quit. But as a parent, you can't quit. You know, these issues are too big for you to quit and to give up. So you got to keep on, stay on, and keep pressing on that. And so if it's not addressed, you may need to make some hard choices as a parent. You know, one, of course, like I said, hold them accountable. Keep on making sure they do what they say they're going to do. But then eventually you're going to have to make a call as a parent. And you're going to have to say, okay, how long am I going to press these, you know, this school, this community to make these changes? Are they going to ever make these changes? How far am I willing to go? You know, am I going to go to the school board? I went to the school board and not doing anything. You know, am I going to go all the way to the media? If I go to the media, how far am I willing to take this? How much am I willing to do? Or do you want to just move your child to another class? Or do you want to move your child to another school? You're going to have to figure out what's the best solution for you eventually if you see that there is no movement in that and you're trying to hold the school accountable. I don't have the answer for in terms of, you know, what's that line for you. There is going to be some hard choices for you to make if they're not actually engaging in any plans that they made, if they're not making any progress. Which brings me to number 10. And I could have started off with this one, but I wanted to kind of end with this one. Most importantly, I think it's essential for you as parents to be there for your children if they experience something racist from their educator at school. You know, so much of I talked about all the things that you need to do in terms of engaging with the school and the educator. It's really important to center your children and to make sure that they are okay. Help them to understand what happened. It may be difficult for them to comprehend why their educator engaged in such an act, particularly if they're, you have little kids, like, you know, preschool kids or elementary age kids. You know, be there to listen to them if and when they want to talk about it and how they feel. Help them to process those emotions. Experience of racism in school can definitely impact how they feel about school throughout their whole educational career. So it's really important for you to kind of really address how they're feeling. And it's important for you to follow up on this experience they had in schools. And it really can have long-term effects and cause racial trauma. I know people who, you know, experienced something racist from a teacher decades ago, and they still talk about it like it was yesterday, and they're still very hurt from it. And it really did impact them. But think about, you know, during the civil rights movement, so many people who, you know, who helped to desegregate our schools and the trauma they experienced from a lot of the educators there, and how as adults, they are still processing that trauma they experienced. So the racial trauma you experience from experiencing racism, you know, from an educator is real, it's serious. It can have a long-term impact. So please make sure that you're there for your child, you know, first and foremost, and throughout the whole process of you're kind of addressing this with the school and the school system. That I cannot stress enough.